Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle, whatever it may be. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I don't know if we have to wait until... I don't know if he's called yet or not. Matt's going to do his rant of the weekend in just a few minutes, I do believe, and then go from there. So, guest-wise, I do know we have John Griffin today, but I'm not sure of anybody else. I'd made a request on guests, but I didn't find out back if any of these guests came through or not. You don't know Caleb, do you? Do they tell you?
No, I do not.
Are you excluded from the meetings? Or
I just kind of show up and I produce.
I see. Well, good. Look, for number one, Penn State basketball does open tonight with Delaware State. Are they a better team than last year? Yeah, they actually are. They're a better team than last year. Now, are they a great team, good team? No, but guess what? They are a veteran team. Usually there's a lot of turnover at a place like Delaware State where you look at the roster like, okay, who's on it this year? No. You know what? This is actually a team that has seven key contributors and one freshman who's very good, by the way, in the mix for their eight. And Penn State, you know, let's face it, it is a mystery because of the 10 transfers. I see the talent. It's a question of the ability to play together. And we'll see. So they'll start tonight. And 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime, and go from there. I see that Selins Grove won, right? And Lewisburg won. So good news there. I mean, you knew that between Selins Grove and Chickalamy, one of the two is obviously going to win, one's going to be out. So Selins Grove has Jersey Shore, and that is going to be on Friday, on Eagle 107, and Lewisburg is going to play Danville. Lewisburg's the four, Danville's the one. And that's it on 100.9 The Valley on Friday at 7. And the airtime, by the way, will be 6:30. The airtime for the Selins Grove Jersey Shore game is on Eagle 107 at 6 o'clock with a 7 o'clock kickoff. The Seals did what everyone expected them to do. They won 58-10. Jersey Shore keeps winning. They beat Milton 54-6. Danville beat Athens 55-7. Lewisburg beat Montoursville. Good win for Lewisburg, 29-14. Other games, Loyal Sauk beat Kamenetska Valley 49-20. Mifflinburg, Warrior Run, the number 6 seed, beat Mifflinburg. Tough game, 21-16. Troy over Hughesville, 36-0. Lime Mountain beat Towanda, 46-23. Southern Columbia did what Southern Columbia usually does. They beat North Penn, 62-20. Mount Carmel beat Wyalusing 43-21. And Northwestern, a good game, evidently, beat Bucktail at Bucktail 36-30. So there you are. There's the setup. So the setup for everybody. We gave you Jersey Shore, Sealands Grove, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock airtime at Eagle 107 Friday. And then, of course, District 4 AAA, Danville will be hosting Lewisburg at 6:30 and 100.9 The Valley. Other games, Warrior Run is at Loyal Sock. Lime Mountain is at Troy. Mount Carmel's at Southern Columbia. Didn't Mount Carmel win over Southern Columbia this year?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it's at Southern Columbia at 7 o'clock on Friday. Northwest is at Muncie. Muncie's the number one seed Friday night. And South Williamsport is at Canton on Friday night. I've got Penn State basketball with Lehigh Friday night. So there is the setup. So that will be interesting. And we do have Frank Bodani at 2:35 today. Very nice. Very nice. All right. So great to have you with us on this Monday. We'll talk Penn State football. And I don't know if Matt's calling in with his rant of the week or not. If he does, we'll take him in this segment as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. Motorcycle, boat, RV. They want to make sure you're fully insured and get you the best price, save you money. And with that now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, we now turn to the TV star of all TV stars. And the new Stephen A. Smith, Matt Catrillo.
Where's the no senor drop there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is why we do this each and every week, Steve, because after the Eagles game yesterday, I need to talk to somebody about that.
That was an exciting game. Too many penalties. And the Eagles won, and yet the funny thing is, the offense at the end, when they needed to put the game away, kept, nope, we're going to punt. Like, okay, they didn't do it. And then...
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
Couldn't put it away on their own terms. You know, but then again, your guy Dak Prescott, he stepped out.
How unbelievable was that? I mean, talk about the game of football being a game of inches, and that a foot and a half basically took 8 points off the board for the Cowboys yesterday. Now, I know Dak's getting a lot of flack for stepping out of bounds, and yeah, he probably should know where he is on the field, but that was kind of a hard play because it looked like he was either going to get tackled, probably short, or if he tried to dive, and that was a hard play for him. But the way he handled the end of the game, getting sacked twice, getting a delay game, absolutely deserved all the criticism there because I thought that was worse than stepping out of bounds at the 2-point conversion. But getting that to the Eagles, you're right. This is the second week in a row that the Eagles were not able to close out the game offensively, which is something that they've actually done relatively well this season and the first 3 years of Nick Sirianni through the run game. And it's 3rd and 3. You've already went for it on 4th and 1 with the brotherly shove on your own territory in the opening drive of the game.
Yeah, but
they'll run the football there.
Let's be honest. On that one, that was a horrible call on the spot. I mean, they actually were maybe about 2 to 2.5 yards away based on where his knee went down. They caught a huge break on that. That was a huge break for Philadelphia because of the spot.
while we're on that for a second, I will say the officiating was horrendous yesterday, and the Eagles were mostly the beneficiary of it. I mean, you had that, the pass interference call that led to the A.J. Brown touchdown to give the Eagles a 28-17 lead late in the third quarter. That was a horrendous call. I mean, there were the Cowboys got hosed on a few calls yesterday. I have to be honest about that. The Eagles did too, but it was more on the Cowboys getting hosed than the Eagles. So I definitely have to mention that because that was a huge action in the game.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, like, just, okay, just stay out of the way. Let them play.
Absolutely. Both,
you know, like, you can over-officiate. They over-officiated the game. That's just me.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. But in terms of getting back to the third and three, fourth and three scenario, so you've already gone for it once before, even though whether you got the spot or not. So you run the football there, and if you're short a yard or two, then I wouldn't hate you going for it to try to put the game away there. Instead, they try to throw a deep ball to A.J. Brown, which nobody's on the same page with, and that's a double whammy because, of course, you stop the clock on top of it all. So that play call was horrendous. And for Nick Sirianni after the game to say that was still a good play call by Brian Johnson, I mean, that's just stubborn. Now, he may have changed that in his press conference today. I haven't seen it, but still, that's stubborn, and that can't happen either.
Well, if you're going to go if your mindset is you're going to go for it on fourth down, your third down play needs to set the call up. That didn't set it up.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, a couple different ways you can look at it there. But just overall, the overall coaching for the Eagles, and I guess obviously for Dallas too, but for the Eagles in particular, was not good. I mean, on the defensive side, I know there were some injuries, and they put some young guys in a tough spot. That's a tough spot for anybody. But when you were committing that many bad penalties three times in a row to get to that basically puts them down the field from their own 14-yard line, I'm sorry. Guys got to be more prepared than that. They just looked unprepared to play. It's one thing to come in there and give up something because you haven't been in that situation before. It's another thing to commit three bad penalties in a row that gets your rival down the field from their own 14-yard line with the game on the line. So guys got to be much more better prepared there. I guess that's my lone rant there when it comes to the Eagles' win yesterday.
Yeah, but you're not done.
No, I'm not done. The rest are related to college football.
First, of course,
we saw from over the weekend that Michigan fired Connor Stallions, of course, at the center of this sign-stealing thing. Only what? 2 weeks after this whole thing came through?
Yeah.
And Michigan thinks they think they're gonna get away with it? I'll tell you what, Tony Bettini better be listening to his athletic directors and to his coaches, because I saw that report last week that everybody has been calling for him to do something with it. So this is his first time to put his foot down as commissioner. And if he thinks Michigan is helping themselves by getting rid of this guy after everything that's been, then he's beside himself. And he's going to lose this conference very quickly. He still needs to put the hammer down on this, especially the NCAA doesn't, because this still can't happen. You're talking about a school that was at a big game between their rivals who they're going to face later on in the year, and they're neck and neck for the Big Ten East right now. That just can't happen. So if you don't put your foot on the ground right now on Michigan to stop this, then you're never going to have the respect of this conference. So Tony Bettini still needs to put the hammer down on Michigan, the postseason ban this year. It has to be done.
Well, what was interesting is the president of Michigan, Santa Ono, said, we need due process. In other words, we need to have this delayed.
Which is also laughable.
All right. So I will say this about that, since Penn State's playing Michigan this week. If something comes up, I will talk about it this week. If something comes up. But to be honest with you, my whole focus is the game. Right? I'm talking about me now, not talking about fans. If you want to call up and talk about it, great. Call up and talk about it. all you want. I will absolutely listen to it and make comments if need be. But it's not going to be something I initiate this week because I just am locked. It's a huge game for Penn State. It's a huge game for Michigan. So I'm going to lock in on the game and let the ancillary stuff then take care of itself. Whomever's out there, whomever's coaching the game, not coaching it, whatever, I'm not going to, it's of no concern to me in this particular week. But it doesn't mean if something doesn't come up, yes, I will talk about it. If something happens, I will talk about it. But I'm just going to lock in on the game itself and stay away from the ancillary issues only because I just don't think for me or for Jack or for anybody, it doesn't, you know, the ancillary issues don't come into play once the game starts.
Either way, it's still going to be very interesting. I don't. I ultimately don't think it'll affect the game, but it's still going to be interesting to watch, no doubt. And I also have no doubt that James Franklin and the coaching staff are going to be aware to change things up if they have to just for this week. And looks like they already started doing that in the last couple of games. So I guess we'll just leave it at that for now. And then the final thing, again, it goes to Dabo Swinney and Clemson. Listen, they played a great game against Notre Dame, okay? Notre Dame has still has some problems right now, especially at the head coaching position. We can talk about that another day. But his quote afterwards to ESPN, if Clemson's a stock, you better all buy a can right now. Are you serious? Your team is 5-4. This is not 2018, 2017 when you've been in the college football playoffs all year. You beat Notre Dame, it's a good win. But let's face it, Notre Dame's not that good a football team this year. And I knew that going in. And to be honest with you, I didn't really get the hype surrounding Notre Dame. I really haven't the last two seasons. Like, I thought they would be probably about a 3-loss team, and that's where they are right now. I thought, did I think they might be better than I thought in the first couple of games of the season? Sure. But ultimately, this is the kind of team I thought they are. So it's a good win for Clemson. But let's not use this game to get rid of to play this game with your critics of back and forth, Dabo, that this is all of a sudden going to take the program back to where it was. You got a lot of work to do still, too. Let's just leave it at that. So, I'm not going to buy in your stinking stock right now, Dabo Swinney.
So we'll put you down as a no?
What a dope.
He speaks highly. I met that. He speaks highly of you.
Oh, good for him. Get back to work.
I'm trying. I'm working.
I know you're working. I'm talking to Dabo. He needs to hear some of that from John Hara. You got more to give, Dabo Swinney.
Our guy. Thanks, Matt.
See you guys next week.
All right, John Griffin in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle, whatever it may be, they want to make sure you're fully insured, save you money, and customer service means everything. It is all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. John Griffin, the head basketball coach at Bucknell, I believe he's supposed to join us here. Do we have him yet or not? I know it's game day, so I don't want to take up much of his time either.
He hasn't called in yet, but I will let you know when he's on.
Okay, good. They have Delaware tonight. Penn State is Delaware State. Bucknell is Delaware for the opening game. And something that, look, the fact that, you look at this week. I mean, they get three games out of the gate right away. They play Delaware, then they play Penn, Wednesday night. Then they play Niagara. It's already an active week right out of the gate for Bucknell. No messing around. They get going with all this. So, and they got to hit the road to do it. Then it's LaSalle. Then they got Duke. I've heard of them. So active right out of the gate. And that is at Soika tonight, as they play Delaware. You know, opening game, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get in an opening game. It has to be a different kind of moment for John Griffin to have been an important part of the program. The place means a lot to him. That's why I love the fact that he came back to coach. You know, it's one thing when you come to a school and you recruit and you're selling what the program can be, you can sell, you're selling what the school can be and so forth. When you're somebody that is in his position that played here, you're sharing your experience. And that makes a big difference. You know, you got a guy like Jack Forrest, who's back. I mean, older player. He has the most game experience. Josh Adoh, his fourth year in the program. And we talked, last time John was on, we talked about Elvin Edmonds, who played very well against Mount St. Mary's in the charity game. So they have all that and more. They've got Delaware coming up tonight. So we'll see. It is game day, so I'm not going to sit here and if John can't make it, he can't make it today. It's game day. I understand that. And that is, you think about it, it has to be almost a surreal moment for him in some ways. Come back and coach this team. All right. And you have transfers like Quinn Berger, a couple true freshmen. Yeah, and Berger's like Jack Forrest, they're both St. Joe's transfers. Oh. And that's all coming up tonight, as a matter of fact. Looking forward to that. And Doug, of course, will have the call with his usual brilliance, I might add. Doug is an outstanding play-by-play guy. Not good, outstanding. So there you go. All right, so if we get John, we'll get John, and Caleb will let me know. As for other stories to talk about, as I mentioned earlier, I have no problem if anybody wants to call in and talk to me about the Michigan sign-stealing situation. Because it is, I've had people tell me like they are fixated on it, which I understand because it's so intricate and interesting. And this is one of those stories where everybody's expecting something to happen this week. I have no idea if anything's happening this week. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't, it's something I'm not going to, get locked in on this week. I talked a lot about the last 2 weeks. But now it's game week, and to me, the whole thing's the game. That's the whole deal. I mean, there's no way. I mean, Ric Flair was in the building at Schembechler Hall this morning. I know that. Good. Great. And so this is where certain things stand. Adam Rittenberg reported earlier today that the NCAA has joined Central Michigan in investigating a man resembling ex-Michigan staffer Connor Stallions, who appears on the CMU sideline September 1st against Michigan State. The unidentified man wore CMU-issued gear and had a bench area credential. James Franklin says, hey, look, I'm just looking at tape. I'm just watching tape. TV tapes, all 22, just to, you know, because, look, this is a big game for Penn State. Doesn't take a genius to say that. But side issues, okay, side issues are there. But as a coach, he can't think about the side issues. I'm talking about whether there's anything coming for the opposing staff, not about the fact that, you know, that they're accused of stealing signs and were at some Penn State games earlier this year. Now, you got to think about that part. You do have to think about that part. But I'm talking about whether the Big Ten's going to do anything this week, not do anything. You can't even begin to think about that. You need to just concentrate on what you do, get your team ready. And he's doing that. That's not... I mean, last night of practice, I mean, do you think that any of that came up? No. Did not. It was all about getting ready for the next game. It was about going over the issues they had against Maryland, and then it was about adjustments.
Okay.
And then getting into scouting report on Michigan. That's what it was about. And that's all it needs to be about from their point of view this week. And I think that and other than that, I mean, there really isn't anything for me to do. The Chicago Cubs, by the way, Craig Counsell is going to leave the Milwaukee Brewers. He's going to be the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. So, that's next. And so, you know. Dante Sivas had a big game, which was what they needed. Somebody had asked before the game about the compliment to Keandre Lambert-Smith. It was a really good pregame show question. And that's why Jack and I talked as much about Dante Sivas as we did, because you just feel over the last 3 weeks or so, you could see it coming. It just needed to happen in a game after seeing it happen in practice. And when you're on it, he didn't have spring practice, right? And he comes in June. And it's not like he can't come in June and be a big contributor right away. But now in real time, you're learning a new system. You're still the stranger in the locker room, even though, look, you know some of the guys. He and Hardy were high school teammates. And, you know, it looked like he was trying to do everything, especially in the preseason and early in the season, by the numbers. I go 9 yards out, I make a left. I go 12 yards out, I make a right. You know, in other words, thinking his way through. He now seems to be more natural with what's going on, but catching a touchdown pass, like, okay, now, okay, this is, I'm back to being me. Then he catches the second one. Well, I'm really back to being me. And you do need that balance and compliment on the other side of Keandre Lambert-Smith. And the feeling of all of us had been with, especially with Harrison Wallace, who couldn't play in the game Saturday, was that Cephas could be that guy. And he was getting closer to being that guy. Well, he showed that the other day. Now, of course, you've got to do it in multiple games in a row. And so the Maryland starts out, and Maryland had been not just good. I mean, they've been great on their script almost the entire season. They had scored a touchdown on five of their first eight opening drives of the season. Terrific. The fact that Penn State stopped them on the opening drive, took over the ball, and then knocked it in themselves on their opening drive, that just set the tone for the whole day. And you cannot win. Well, I shouldn't say you can't. It's very difficult to win when you're only playing one way. Maryland could not run the ball. And because they could not run the ball and didn't even try to run the ball, they just tried to over and over again just throw the ball. And when you look at how they played, I mean, in the game, the pressure they put on, 12 tackles for losses, 6 sacks. Somebody asked about the concern of the offense of the Penn State defensive front against the Maryland offensive line in the pregame show. And Jack and I had talked, we had dinner the night before with Steve Smear, and we were talking about this. And Jack said the biggest advantage Penn State has is going to be their defensive front against the offensive line, which was 180 of what the caller had asked. And it played out exactly the way Jack said it would play out. Played out exactly. He said they're going to be in the backfield all day. And they were. And Abdul Carter played his best game. That's the Abdul Carter we saw a good portion of last season. He was terrific. He played a great game. DeLuca played another really good game, too. And it was special teams, the kickoff return by Singleton, the kickoffs by Wosu. Falcons was 3 of 3. Riley Thompson had 2 punts, both rock solid. I mean, really, all the way through good. Defense, except for the penalties. The 2 Maryland drives were all completely penalty-aided out there. So you got to cut back on that. Although I will say this, Jack was disgusted in the roughing the passer call and denied Dennis Sutton. And he says this is looking like the NFL now, because Sutton, what happened was is that he got twisted to the ground and was falling in Sutton's direction, and Sutton hit him in the shoulder pads. He didn't hit him in the helmet. Not a good call. But 2 penalty-aided touchdown drives. That's it. And Drew Aller was sharp. That's the way Drew threw the ball all last week in practice. Kind of walked out of there the other night and was like, yep, he's set. He's ready. And then he got to the game and he threw the ball the same way. Accurate. You think of about 3 throws in the game. Corner fade to Cephas for the touchdown. Cephas' second touchdown catch. The touch put on it. Wow. Impressive. 2. The touchdown pass to Warren. Where he had to take it and he had to fire it in there. Boom. And then the 3rd one was the play with Bo in the field, where Bo pitched it back to Drew. And then Drew alertly finds Theo Johnson and pushes the ball to him for a touchdown. That's the vision and the poise you're looking for on a play like that. It broke down, and he found the open guy anyway. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, opener tonight will be Bucknell and Delaware, Soika. John Griffin joins us. John, thanks for just a couple of minutes of your time here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Steve. Thanks for having me.
For you, have you thought about what it's going to be like to walk out on the court because this place means so much to you? Could it be surreal?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It's very surreal. I've pinched myself a few times already today for a number of different reasons. One being the one that you just mentioned, such a special place in my life, having spent 8 years in Lewisburg, both as a student athlete and now here as an adult. But also because as a basketball coach, being the son of one, but being in the industry, it's so hard to get an opportunity such as this. And I feel very fortunate. I feel very blessed. I've had a lot of really good people in my corner,
yep.
And to be able to have this opportunity, I'm just incredibly grateful, and I'm looking forward to it.
There's the other part, and the other part is now your players. Your job is to put them in the best position to win. So when you look at them out there, do you like the way they've gone about their work to at least get this started? Because this season is a process.
Yeah, I certainly do, and I've told them that. They've taken the mentality that we as a staff have been preaching of every day is its own opportunity to improve, and that's a challenging concept for this generation of kids to fully understand, but this particular group has, from day one, bought in, has the appetite for learning. They're competitive, and they're process-driven. I mean, we don't talk about lofty goals, winning 20 games. We really just talk about can we be the best team we can be day in and day out. And they're ready to go. I can tell you that. And as a staff, what you hope is that you can trust your group, whatever stage in the season that you're in. And as the head coach, I trust them. I trust their instincts. I trust their heart and their competitiveness, and I know they're ready to go.
Certain teams are certain ways. Some are, you can show them a tape, they get it there. Some people, you tell them, they get it there. Some you have to actually take them on the court and show them. Is this a mix of all that with different guys, and what does it take for you as a coach to figure out how a guy learns?
It is. It's a mix. It's exactly what you just mentioned. I think our job here at Bucknell is to, with all the resources that we have, teach this group how to win. That's our job. And we'll go kind of to the ends of the earth, for lack of a better phrase here, to help them understand the really important details within the course of a 40-minute game that you need to know to give yourself the best chance to win. And ultimately, I've told this group from day one, you can't replicate, Steve, you can't replicate the emotions of a game, right. The opponent. You're not going to be able to replicate all that's in a game, but you can prepare for the decisions that you have to make. And I think they're prepared at this point. I think every college basketball team that's starting today is hoping that their team's prepared to make the decisions that they need to make to put themselves in position to win. So I do think they're prepared. They're fired up. I mean, they're ready to go, and Delaware is a really tough opponent, and they have a great coach in Martin Inglesby, so I'm excited for this team.
Well, you know what? Bucknell is a pretty doggone good coach, too. So, hey, John, good luck tonight. Appreciate the time, and thanks for jumping on with us. That's tonight at Soika, and excited for you in the opener and what the John Griffin era is going to mean for Bucknell basketball.
Thank you. I appreciate it, as always.
John Griffin, head basketball coach, Bucknell, opener tonight, Delaware, Soika. Doug Birdsong will be there, and he's inviting you to join him there. There you go. Frank Bodan, the final half hour today. More coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.